Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Fast to my good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Friday, the 29th of August. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom on the way tonight. A new women-only running group has been launched to tackle catcalling and harassment. Meanwhile, MPs return to Westminster next week, but MHKs aren't back until October. One Timwald member says Manx politicians are away for too long. And the domestic football season kicks off tomorrow. We'll have all the teams to look out for. All those stories on the way for you. If you want to say hello, drop me a message. Text WhatsApp to 166177. Email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's get the latest with Amy Griffiths. Fast to my.
This year's Classic TT and Manx Grand Prix have concluded for 2025. It's after the Senior Classic had to be cancelled because damp and wet patches along the mountain road meant it wasn't suitable for racing. Meanwhile, fans and residents alike are being advised to behave, even now the racing's over. Inspector Elliot Butler says things haven't been bad so far, but hopes that doesn't change.
Last thing we want to do is have a brilliant Grand Prix and then on the final 2 days during the weekend, we let our guard down.
Arbury Castletown and Maloo MHK Tim Glover says Timwald summer recess is too long. Every year it has a 3 month break from July to October, while most of our neighbouring jurisdictions return in September. He says we should follow suit.
We've looked at other areas close to us and we're probably one of the longest recesses that there is out there. So I do think it's too long.
Female runners on the island have been telling Manx Radio about their experiences of catcalling and harassment. It's after a study showed more than two-thirds of women in the northwest of England had dealt with such incidents while exercising. 21-year-old Emily Knopp founded the Run Like a Girl running club on the island.
It's such a privilege for a lot of men to just be able to go out in the dark. I think probably the biggest concern for them is like not falling over, and ours is just like such a different reality.
Manx Utilities says that the continued discharge of untreated sewage into the Irish Sea must stop, and to do nothing is not an option. The planning application for its Garth sewage treatment works has now been made publicly available. To international news now, and the Home Office has won its appeal, meaning asylum seekers will continue to be housed at the Bell Hotel in Epping. The Court of Appeal overturned a High Court injunction that would have stopped 138 migrants being allowed to stay there beyond the 12th of September. The Israeli military has designated Gaza City a dangerous combat zone as it begins its operation to occupy the area. The IDF suspended temporary pauses in fighting to allow the flow of aid. And Manchester United's boss admits he sometimes wants to quit. His side are winless after the first three games of this season, including Wednesday night's EFL Cup exit, where they lost to League Two's Grimsby Town on penalties. Those are your headlines. I'll be back with the news in full at 6.
World-class racing has returned to our island. Make a pit stop at your local Tesco and pick up crowd-pleasing bites, drinks and camping must-haves. Tesco, every little helps.
Gurumaya, thank you very much for that, Amy. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Sunny intervals, but also a few showers this evening. They're mainly dry overnight. Light or moderate westerly winds with temperatures down to 12 degrees overnight. Tomorrow, though, bright and dry at first, but gradually turning cloudy with rain from late morning. Top temperature of 17 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
Are you a landlord looking for an easier life with a guaranteed return? Landlord Lifeline specialise in helping owners like you. For a free, no-obligation meeting, call 616 600 or visit landlordlifeline.im.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
For a wide range of wood-burning stoves and a complete installation service, visit The Snug in Ramsey. And we don't stop there. Kiln-dried firewood and full aftercare service, including chimney sweeps and maintenance. Call The Snug in Ramsey.
Many people are struggling. You can help by volunteering or making a donation to Isle of Man Food Bank. whether it be food or essential items or financial support. Please call 646 999, brought to you by Descon Office Interiors.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
5 past 5 on Manx Radio's update. Welcome to the programme. Now, if you go for a run outside or nip across to the park for some exercise, do you ever worry about being harassed? Well, depending on whether you're a man or a woman, you likely have a different answer to those questions. Now, a study last year by the University of Manchester found that more than two-thirds of women surveyed in northwest England had experienced harassment while running, including threats, verbal abuse, and even having objects thrown at them. Earlier this year on the island, 21-year-old Emily Knopp set up a female-only running club called Run Like a Girl, in part to allow its members to feel safer as part of a group. She says she's experienced harassment firsthand on the island and more so in Manchester when she attended university. She's been speaking to Lewis Foster alongside fellow member Chloe Venus.
When I had my run club in Manchester, even if we ran all together, we'd get catcalls all the time, harassment all the time. One of the girls in our group, even when we were running all together, she got physically assaulted when we were on a run. It's such a privilege for a lot of men to just be able to go out in the dark and not experience that sort of environment, because they don't have to think about having to hold their keys in between their fingers all the time, looking behind them, not wearing headphones. I think probably the biggest concern for them is like not falling over in the dark, and ours is just like such a different reality. In the Isle of Man, I guess I kind of thought it's not the same. I think it's so much safer over here, which it absolutely is. But I came back at Christmas when I went out on one of my runs. It was in the dark, but I thought, because it's the Isle of Man, I'm fine. I went out running, and then there was a car that drove past and it started beeping its horn, and then loads of men were shouting out the window. And I know to a lot of people it doesn't seem like that crazy and that scary, but I think unless you're in that situation and you're by yourself as a woman, you don't understand how in danger you feel.
Chloe, hearing what Emily said there, have you ever experienced anything like that?
Not so much to that extent, but it's just the looks on the stairs, you know, you see people driving past and it's, oh, I don't want to say always the men, but you know, that's the ones that I look out for, because as a girl you're trained to look out for that. The clothes that we wear now, it wouldn't be the clothes that we would run in the winter, so obviously it does kind of put me off a little bit. Or the other sense, it maybe makes me want to wear something different, which I shouldn't have to.
Since I probably turned 18, it's gone less, to be honest.
Wow.
And that's being on the Isle of Man, because I've never lived away before then, but it's so scary, especially at 14. But then you're just taught constantly, just keep saying no, just keep your head down and walk away. Mm-hmm. And that's it, and that's what you're just taught from a young age being a woman.
That's Lewis Foster there, speaking with Emily Knopp and also club member Chloe Venus. Well, we've spoken to Victim Support, who sent us this advice. If you are running or you're out alone, they say to stick to known routes. There's also safety in numbers. And if you are ever a victim of harassment, then you should contact the police. 8 minutes past 5, the island's unemployment rate has edged up slightly, while the number of job vacancies has also risen. Statistics Isle of Man has published its latest labour market report for July. John Moss is with us now. First to my John. Well, let's start with what the figures show, please.
First to my Christian. Well, let's see. At the end of July, which, of course, is in the middle of the summer season, 292 people, that's less than 300, were registered unemployed. That is 9 more than in June. Not an enormous figure. Of course, other jurisdictions would give their eye teeth for that. But it is 45 more than this time last year. It means that the unemployment rate now stands at, and again, other jurisdictions would love this, 0.7%. That's up by 0.1 on the month.
So a small increase. What does that mean in real terms?
Well, obviously, looking at historic terms, as far as the island is concerned, it is low. Decades ago, we had thousands of people out of work, and now we've got this small number. The numbers were well over 1,000 a decade ago. But it's worth noting that using the broader International Labour Organization measure, and that, as you probably know, includes people looking for work but not registered, around, and this is quite a big number, 737 individuals were unemployed in July, which would then put the rate at 1.6%.
And what about job opportunities? Are there many out there?
Oh, yes, we were told there's a fair few. The Job Centre had over 500, just over 502 vacancies at the end of the month, which is 15 more than in June. Of these, we're told 292 were full-time roles, which, of course, I suppose people are keen to get. 210 were part-time, which will suit quite a few people who only want to work part-time. The biggest demand was in, as you might guess, medical and health services, with more than 100 openings, followed by business services, catering, and then retail.
And geographically, where are people most affected?
You can imagine around the capital, Douglas, the east of the island continues to see the highest concentration. 197 people unemployed, compared with 40 in the north, 38 in the south, so roughly balanced, and 17 in the west.
That's John Morse there. Thank you very much.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Is the political recess too long? Tynwald members go on their summer break immediately after the July Tynwald sitting and don't reconvene until October. Well, in the UK, MPs return to the Commons from next week. So why is the Isle of Man so long in comparison? Amy Griffiths has been finding out.
Every year, the Isle of Man's Parliament breaks for summer, with the last sitting taking place in the third week of July. It then doesn't resume until the third Tuesday of October, 3 months later. The House of Keys then starts the following week and sits weekly until the end of June, with breaks for Christmas, Easter and TT. No one knows exactly why it's so long. Some believe it stems back to when many members were farmers and were too busy with the harvest to meet. Others say that's just how it's always been. Broadly speaking, though, this pattern for Tynwald Court has officially been in place since 1946, while for Keys it's been since 1931. But is a three-month break too long? If we look at our neighbouring jurisdictions, Jersey, Guernsey, the UK and Ireland all have breaks that start in July and end in September. And while Arbury, Castletown and Maloo MHK Tim Glover says the break can be a good time to get things done, he says that ours is too long in comparison.
The board meetings again continue over the summer recess, so that work doesn't stop, and there's an awful lot of documentation to have read through before those board meetings. And, you know, if you're chairing a meeting, you need to be across everything that is coming through that meeting. So you need to have read all those documents before each board meeting.
Is the summer recess too long, do you think?
I've argued from day one it's too long. I think we should be back in September. We've looked at other areas close to us, and we're probably one of the longest recesses that there is out there. So I do think it's too long. But the flip side of that, it is a chance, particularly with all the committee work that takes place and all the reports that are being compiled, and you know how many committees there are within Tynwald. It's a vast amount of work for the Tynwald office to undertake. The summer recess does give them a chance to catch up, and that's important to reflect on as well. It is a chance for departments, I guess, as well as the Tynwald office, to get bang up to date and ready for the off when it comes in October. But I lean more towards, I think we're off for too long.
This isn't the first time someone suggested reducing the length of the summer recess. Back in 2017, then Middle MHK Bill Shimmins brought the topic to Tynwald, suggesting the court return in September. His motion failed, though, as did an amended version he brought to Keys the following week. In 2023, the Standing Orders Committee of Tynwald published a report suggesting the House of Keys should sit from the final week of September to allow for breaks at other points of the year. While the Legislative Council supported this, MHKs didn't, and therefore the motion didn't pass. Someone who's seen things from all sides of the political spectrum is our political correspondent Phil Gorn, who was an MHK for 13 years and also served as a minister of multiple departments. He's been giving me his thoughts.
As a presenter of political programmes, it can be a bit of a nuisance. But as a former minister and indeed former MHK, I didn't really notice it that much because you had 9 months of the year where you were able to fire in questions and get the answers that you needed. as a minister, it was an absolute godsend. It was the only time in the year where you had enough headspace to actually develop a policy. And certainly if you were in any of those particularly busy departments, then your whole agenda is taken up by questions and what happens on the Timewald Order paper, or indeed any legislation that you might be bringing through. So you're so busy doing all of the stuff that's, to a certain extent, other people's agenda, you don't get an awful lot of time to sit and think about policy and actually decide what the shape of your department's future needs to look like.
And I suppose if we look at comparable jurisdictions as well, the UK is an obvious one because their recess is only a month long. But one of the key differences there is that their attendance to the House of Commons isn't compulsory, whereas here an MHK's attendance is, isn't it?
Yes, that is a big difference. Not only do we have fewer members, but also we have a rule which you can skip half an hour of a Timewald or Keys sitting if you get the permission of the presiding officer. But generally speaking, you are expected to attend for the whole sitting, and therefore members do actually need some time off. So there's a lot of work goes on in the summer. Now, don't get me wrong, members will be enjoying the sunny weather and getting a bit of a break. But particularly for members of the House of Keys, they'll be thinking about what's going to happen in September next year, general election coming up. So they'll be starting to have those sorts of thoughts as well.
So it may not be quite as clear-cut as it initially seems, and for anything to change, it'd have to come from Timewald members themselves. But one thing's for sure, they're not spending those 3 months.
Is he doing nothing, working the whole day through, trying to find lots of things not to do? We're busy going nowhere, isn't it just a crime? We'd like to be unhappy, but we never do have the time.
Well, what do you think of that? Should politicians return sooner? One thing they always tell me is the work doesn't stop regardless, but interested to know your thoughts nonetheless. 166 177 on the text, or email studio@manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, naturally, roads around the course are now open. The last day of racing was cut short due to weather, so that concludes racing for this year. Elsewhere, though, in PLA, short stretch of Glenfarne Road is closed 24 hours a day near the new sewage treatment plant for installation of a new water main. Traffic is being diverted by the Patrick Road, St John's and the A1 in and out of Peel. In Ramsey, temporary lights on the Antrus Road near the Grove Museum 24 hours a day for substation work, and between St Jude's and Andrus, rolling closures on the Andrus Road for water main replacement work. Quick look down at the steam packet. All is looking good there from my perspective. We'll head on down to Ronald's Way Airport for a moment, and I'm seeing a lot of green, I'm seeing a lot of blue, and I'm seeing a lot of on time. So I'm going to say everything is running to schedule.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
Being beleaguered goes with the territory at the Department of Infrastructure, but relatively new DOI Minister Michelle Hayward is doing her best to get on the front foot. Government has had limited success in dealing with the housing crisis, and Minister Hayward tells Perspective why her department's plan for a housing agency will succeed where government has so far collectively failed. That's Perspective this Sunday at 12 on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn. Building for success, but is this another government policy built on sand?
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
19 minutes past five, Manx Care's confident a new dental provider in the north of the island will be imminent. Grove Mount Dental in Ramsey was the only practice accepting NHS patients up until it handed back its contract earlier this year. It's hoped the new provider will be able to accommodate all previous patients there, as well as a further 900. Directorate Manager for Integrated Primary Care and Therapy Services, Melissa Pinkert, and Chief Executive Theresa Cope have been telling Amy Griffiths more.
We're going out to procurement for a service that will replace what was previously delivered at Groveman. We're aware that there are around 900 patients that were allocated previously to that provider. We know who those patients are, and they will get priority as we procure a new service. We're hoping that procurement goes live within the next matter of weeks, and then once we've got a new provider in place, that transfer will happen, along with waiting list patients as well for the new provider as they set up. So it's imminent that we should get another provider in Ramsey, or certainly in the north of the island.
Procurement has been challenging with dentists in previous years because of the global climate. So are you confident that you're going to be able to find somebody suitable to fulfil that role?
I would certainly hope so. The difficulty is there's not a lot of access in the north of the island anyway in terms of dental practices, unlike other areas with the island. So it may well need a new provider who might want to set up a practice, or it might be an existing provider that goes in for the tender exercise at that point. We've just got to wait and see what happens there. I know there's providers that we already have that are keen to deliver more services, but we really want to focus on a service being available in the north of the island as a priority.
I think we've given real thought to how much activity is needed to be delivered in the north, which means it's substantially more than what was previously commissioned for the north of the island. And we hope that means it is more attractive to providers to sort of take on the contract. So it's a significant increase in the number of UDAs being asked to be delivered in the north. And as I say, we hope that makes it more attractive to providers to come and set up there, taking into account all they will need to do in order to be able to provide that service for us.
The Isle of Man Freemasons are opening their Douglas headquarters to the public tomorrow. Woodburn House has been the centre of Freemasonry on the island for 100 years. It opened in 1925, and visitors will be able to visit and see historic features and artefacts. Spokesperson Tim Earle told me what visitors can expect.
Well, they'll be given a warm welcome to start off with. They can see people milling around in Masonic regalia, but also people in ordinary mufti. They'll be taken around the building and shown some of the significant parts of it, or all the significant parts of it. We have three rooms that we meet in upstairs. The main room, which takes the big meetings, is particularly fine and is often used for weddings. So they'll be taken around those. There'll be a display of Masonic museum items, including one or two pieces that were created by Archibald Knox. He was a very famous Art Nouveau, a new movement artist and designer and craftsman. He actually made a lot of the stuff that he designed.
And like you say, there are some fascinating features on display, from the spiral staircase all the way to, like you said, Archibald Knox's designs. Do you have a personal favourite?
Strangely, yes, the spiral staircase. Part of the plays that we put on revolve around the spiral staircase, and to have one for real, built in as part of our building, is really quite significant. It is to me, anyway.
That's Tim Earle from the Freemasons, and that open day is running from 10 until 2 tomorrow. Free admission and refreshments. Right, sports up next.
Your name's not down, you're not coming.
Make Floor Fillers, the soundtrack to your Saturday night with me, Chris Quirk. Relive the best nights of your life with dance anthems from the 90s onwards. We'll also be firing up the decks in the studio and going in the mix for 20 minutes of uninterrupted anthems. Whether you're dressed to impress for a night out or vibing at home with friends, Floor Fillers brings you the energy to kickstart your Saturday night tomorrow from 8 on Manx Radio.
Thank you, Chris. Now, the 25-26 domestic football season gets underway this weekend. After a closely fought battle for the Canada Life Premier League title last year, which saw Peel come out on top by 2 points, who are this season's favourites? President of the FA, Tony Meppham, has been looking ahead.
Certainly, Corinthians have strengthened big time when you look at people like Sean Doyle. You've got Dan Simpson back in there. Ryan Burns defensively will come in. Ronald McDonald when he's fit, and there's one or two others who have come back in as well. So, and new signings. So Corinthians are looking really strong. But St Mary's, Jack McVeigh, I'm pretty certain he signed for them. And one or two other players showing interest to join them before tomorrow. So St Mary's are looking strong as well. But Peel United, we watched them last Friday. It wasn't a great game to watch. Peel, I would think, will be pretty well near enough the same team. Maybe one or two players will be back on Ireland to strengthen them. But Ayr United, it's just a question of what players are available.
Is there any other team that you think might be able to break into that potential top four?
Well, when you look at last year, I think Rushen surpassed what they expected. Certainly Ramsey will get better because there's a lot of young players there who will improve. Plus the signing of Cameron Tor from Ayr United is a real coup because I think Cameron has improved so much over the last couple of years. And then when you look at Laxey as well, there's a lot of good young players in that Laxey team, but it's having them available is the big problem because they seem to sort of get sort of taken away playing for FC Isle of Man or other things, which sort of takes them away from the starting lineup of Laxey. But I think certainly, you know, looking at Corinthians, Peel and St Mary's, I think the champions will come from one of those three.
That's Tony Meppham, the president of the Isle of Man Football Association, speaking with Darren Timpson there. We'll stick with sport, and we can now say Fastamai to Darren Timpson.
Fastamai, the MGP and Classic TT fortnight came to a damp end today. Three races were scheduled, and after numerous delays on the historic senior and junior events were completed. Mike Brown has won the former in a nail-biting end. It was a tightly contested race, which Adam McLean crossed the line just over 0.2 behind. Dean Harrison completed the podium as he came home in third place. Meanwhile, Paul Jordan was crowned the winner of the historic Junior Classic TT race. He beat Dan Harrison comfortably by over 9 seconds as he won the Walamalat event. Jamie Coward came home in third. The Classic TT Senior race was also scheduled today, but some parts of the track were still wet, which brought an end to 2 weeks of racing. In football, FC Isle of Man will be back at the ball in the Northwest Counties Football League this weekend. They face a Padiham side on Saturday that have a perfect record up until now. 5 games played, 5 wins and sit top of the table. The Ravens have only taken 4 points from their opening 7 games, with only their only win coming against Abbey Hay. FC Isle of Man versus Padiham kicks off at the ball tomorrow at 6 p.m. And finally, the Isle of Man Domestic League football season returns this weekend. Both league and combination divisions will be in action on Saturday. Canada Life Premier League champions Peel AFC beat Ayr 2-1 in a Charity Shield fixture last weekend. The Westerners will be looking to retain their title after a closely fought battle for the title last season, which saw them take the trophy by 2 points. Both Braddon and Old Boys were promoted to the First Division, while St George's and Moran were relegated to the Arden and Drogon Division 2. Unfortunately, the second tier will be without 3 teams this year, as Douglas Athletic, Michael United and Gymnasium will only be entering combination teams.
Good reminder, thank you very much for that, Darren. Well, that is it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Amy Griffiths. Stick around, Michelle Kane is up next with an extended Greatest Hits. She's sitting in for Chris Kinley. The Kane Brothers with Jumping In after that from 9 o'clock. Then last but not least, of course, is Rhianna Evans with After Hours, taking you through till midnight. Have a good weekend. Beth is back with you from Monday. So until next time, take care. Bye-bye for now.